Just give me a few minutes and I'll... You know, that's what church is all about, you know? I just love how we love it when someone comes to us. That's what we're here on this earth to do, is bring people to the Lord. But another thing is what we're here when we come to church, which we don't do that often, is pray. That's how Door of Faith was founded. Foundation was all about prayer. And prayer is so important in your life. It's so important. To me, if you're struggling, you're not praying. But praying is so important. I'm not saying because you pray, you're not going to struggle. That's not what I'm saying. But prayer helps you get through it. Because he says that, I'm never going to give you more than you can handle. And how many knows that everything that is said here, and we all believers here, we all believe that Jesus, about everything in this book is true. There's nothing in here. There's no book in the world that can say that everything written in here is true. Everything written in here is from God. No, and just so happy, that's what I'm talking about today, is this thing right here. The word. You know, let me just open with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for what a beautiful way to start church, Lord. On our knees, Lord, praying for others. Someone accepting you as their Lord and Savior. Today we gave the devil a black eye before even the message started, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. This is how church should be every Sunday, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, allow your words that you have given to me to speak to your people today. Anoint the ears to hear your word, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen, amen. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to share a scripture, and I'm going to talk about the scripture. And, you know, God's word, a lot of times when you look in this word and you read it, and that's another thing, too. I'm going to talk about the word read, but not right now. In this book, it talks a lot about children. You notice how God always likes to compare us to children? Listen to what it says in Matthew 18:3. It says, truly I tell you, unless you change to become like children, imagine us coming like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. You will never. And Pastor John was talking about that first several weeks about being born again. If you're not born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Here's another one, Luke 18:16. Like little children, come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such of these. Amen. And so when you think about what is the reason why a lot of time God uses children as an example, he could have used the disciples, he could have used the leaders, but he uses children because I believe, for one thing, children are innocent. God sees that innocence. And another thing, children are moldable. They're like soft clay in the master's hand, and he's able to mold them. Unlike us, we're not sometimes moldable. We're more like harder clay, which in the master's hand, it doesn't mold that easily. But Peter goes on one step further and uses a comparison to this morning's Bible text. It comes from 1 Peter 2:2, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translations, because I just really love the way that this verse is read. Listen carefully to the words. Like newborn babies, now God is comparing us to babies, you must crave, as Pastor Steve was talking about craving this morning in prayer, crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a fullness experience of salvation. So into a full experience of salvation, cry out for this nourishment. We need to cry out. So the Apostle Peter is comparing us to newborn babies, to basically is to illustrate our dependency and helplessness to the one who gave birth to us. And recently, my daughter-in-law gave birth about 7 months ago, and we get the privilege to be with our granddaughter now. But we see how every time she feeds him with mother's milk. And there's something about a mother's milk that is so important in a baby's life. And one thing you notice about babies, when they're hungry, what do? They cry. So now, Peter's telling us that we need to begin to hunger and crave and cry out like a baby cries out for this nourishment. And this, today, is our nourishment. This, today, as if anything that you get out of today, know that this book is our nourishment, our spiritual food. Amen? So, a mother just doesn't feed a baby any old thing. In fact, I asked my son the other day, I said, when do you start feeding Kaylee water? And I asked him, I don't know, you'd have to answer that. I said, when do you guys start giving, because we don't know water. So, but as she's growing up, the mother's just giving him the mother's milk. And there's something in that mother's milk that, unlike anything else, it has the nutrients and everything to sustain the baby's growth and health that formula cannot replicate. So just like this, there's so much things in this book here that can't be replicated. It's amazing how the milk helps to build and strengthen the baby's immune system. It's amazing how it helps brain function and eye function. It's so amazing. And this also helps our immune system to live and grow. God's design is so perfect. So perfect. But as human beings, there's only two things we can be dependent on. Man or God. And we know we've been on that road where we've been dependent on man, but man can only get us so far in life. Only so far. When we begin to follow the ways of the world, it only ends up in heartache and sorrow. But I just like what we saw this morning. A young boy, teenage, being born again. When we are born again and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are adopted. He's adopted now into God's family. And he is a new creation in Christ. The old for each and every one. The old you is gone. And the new you is sitting right in front of me this morning. Amen? And now we can cry out, Abba, Father. That word, Abba, Father, is a deep respect. Deep respect and intimate relationship we have with God that we can cry out, Abba, Father. And that's what it takes. It takes an intimate relationship that you can cry out to him, Abba, Father. Because when we are dependent on God, he provides us with the greatest of help. He, as our Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit. You can't get any more dependable people than those three. So if you have those three in one, when we have those three in one, and if not, you have none. Amen. And today, if any of you are not born again or have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, at the end of my message, I would give you that opportunity to become that new creature in Christ, as we saw this morning. How beautiful that was. Amen. Because I would love if every one of you, us, everyone here, has been given that opportunity in making that greatest decision in your life. Amen. And another thing, that scripture, 1 Peter 2:2, talks about, he talks about the pure spiritual milk. The pure spiritual milk, which is God's word, the Holy Bible, this infallible, enduring forever, life-changing word of God. Amen. And like I said, it contains all the nourishments that you need to grow in your life. Everything it has. It helps strengthen our spirit. It helps strengthen our soul. It helps give us a sound mind. It helps to open blind eyes so we can begin to see the beauty of God. There is nothing in the world, nothing in this world that has to offer that can line up to God's word. There is nothing. Because that's one thing. Now, in society, there are so much counterfeits out there. And one thing about a counterfeit, what a counterfeit tries to do is look like the original. I had to use, well, as a security in the bank, we saw a lot of counterfeit bills coming in. And what the counterfeit bills try to do is look like the original. And there's so many counterfeits out there that try to look like the original. But there is nothing out there. I don't want to be naming different denominations, but there's so much out there. And we know what they are. But a counterfeit tries to get as close as to God's word. That is why it's so important that we get to begin to get into this book so we know a counterfeit from the real, from the truth. Amen? But one thing that, and I fell in this category before, we try to replace this. We try to replace it with drugs, with alcohol, ungodly relationships, which only leads to depressions, anxieties, all these things, unforgiveness, it leads to self-condemnation, just to name a few. But the Apostle Peter was crying out, he was pleading that we cry out for this nourishment. We got to cry out for this nourishment. We need to crave, we have this craving to obey and to this word. Obedience is so important to this. And as I was writing this message, as I was talking, the word read, I was writing it, and I went back. I said, that word read, it just doesn't sit well with me, read God's word. I'm not saying not to read, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying read God's word, but that word didn't sit. It almost sounded just so, what word? It sounded so boring. Read God's word, you know. But I said, Lord, what can, because you know how you can use word find. I said, oh, I have read 12 times in this message. So I don't want to use that word. So what word can I use that is better than reading God's word? And he showed me the word engage. So I went back and I changed all the, I read to engage. So here it says that we need to engage. So what engage means is to participate, or it means to become involved. So that sounds so much better, to engage in God's word. So here I have written down, engaging scripture can bring about positive emotions like hope, gratitude, and peace. When we engage, doesn't that sound so much better? That's like getting into the game, engaged. Whereas reading sounds like, doesn't sound that good. But engaging God's word sounds like it's so much better. It sounds like an action word, but it sounds like a word that I'm going to get into the game. I'm going to get my hands dirty. So throughout this, I'm not going to stay read. If I see read, yell engage. Amen? So when we get into this right here, this word, there's a study I was reading that it actually helps to strengthen our immune system. But when we get into God's word, what happens is this word just, it's just, you know, does, have you ever noticed that a lot of times when you read God's word, sometimes it puts you to sleep? It's not because it's boring. It's because there's peace in this word. You know, it's not like it's a boring book. And that's a great thing to do if you have a hard time sleeping. Why not read God's word? And he'll put you to sleep. Not because it's boring, because this book has peace. And I'll explain a little bit more about it just in a little while. But let me share a scripture. It's so amazing, before I share this, it's so amazing how God's word points to everything in life. Everything, good or bad. When you think about it, God created life. God is life. That's why John 1:1 says, in the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. And in John 6:63 says, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. And there's that word I'm going to want to talk about, the word full. As you read it earlier in my scripture, it says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk, which is the word, so that you will grow into a full experience. I want to talk about a full experience, what that kind of looks like. Because when you think about it, if you want to experience something, you just don't want to experience some of it or part of it. Because we probably experienced that before. You feel like you got cheated, like you wasted your money. But when you get the full experience of something, you say, wow, that was awesome. That's what I want to point out today about experiencing the full experience. And I want to give you an example of what a full experience kind of looks like. Last year, my son and his wife took me and my wife to Paris. And we went all over the European place. We went to Paris. Of course, in Paris, there's some things you got to see. One of it that we had to see was the Eiffel Tower. So we went to the Eiffel Tower, but there are three different levels to the Eiffel Tower. And to experience the full experience of the Eiffel Tower, let me just show you video one. It's going to be fast. Sorry about that. I'm kind of nervous. It shows you how far it is. Okay, so my wife couldn't go up there. It's every level. The first level is about almost 200 feet. The next level is about 300-something, but the third level is 900-something feet. And when I got up to you have to experience that. You can't be on the bottom level and get the full experience of the Eiffel Tower. So me and my son, we went up there. I pulled my phone over, and it was an awesome feeling. It wasn't scary, but you get more than the experience of just being on the first or second floor. And the second one to just make it the full experience is what Sky is going to show next. This is just a quick video.
Walk on glass. As you can see, looking straight down. We're not that high. We're only on the first floor of the Eiffel Tower, but still, it is pretty high. You can imagine if the glass broke.
Amen. Amen. But you'd be surprised. Maybe not all of you, a lot of you. That's how I experience a full experience. But walking on glass, if you've never done it before, and there's a lot of places in this world that's even scarier than that, on mountains and cliffs. But right when you step on it, something about your mind plays tricks with you. And it's so weird that when you say, I took that first couple of steps, now I'm standing in the middle of the glass looking straight down. You feel like an eerie feeling. Not everyone does it. You think, it's only glass. But that's not true. The mind plays so sharp where people won't even walk on that. My wife would not even walk on that too. I would have to drag or something, but I wouldn't do that, you know. But that's how I experienced the full experience. Everyone who doesn't walk on the glass or doesn't go to the top just got to a little bit of the Eiffel Tower. It's a beautiful monument thing, but to really get the full experience, you have to go to the top. And, I mean, you got to walk on the glass. Amen? But that's kind of what I'm trying to explain about the full experience. But Peter says that he wants us to crave for God's word, that we'll grow into the full experience of salvation. I never read the scripture like that before. It usually just says, grow into your salvation. But this one says, into a full. So what does a full experience of salvation look like? Let me just briefly kind of explain salvation. We kind of all know what salvation is. It's the deliverance of our soul from sin. Again, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, acknowledging our sin, all these things. Believing that Christ died for your sins, that he went to the cross on the third day, he arose. Those are all part of salvation. But that's just a part of it. That's not the full. So how can we have a full experience of salvation through God's word? And I kind of wrestle with that. I have to really try to think, how can we have, I mean, everyone say, oh, just read the word, pray. Yeah, that's all true. But how do we have, how do we get that full experience? Just like the Eiffel Tower, there's things that we have to do to get that full experience. So the Lord led me to this scripture. I was looking for it, all of a sudden, boom, this was the scripture, but it's from the contemporary English version. It's a version I rarely use, but that's one thing good about Bible Hub. If you ever use Bible Hub, I just like how it has all, and nothing's wrong with using different versions. I'm not one that says that King James only, if not everything else is not the Bible. That's not true. But this listen to this version, and this is John chapter 16, verses 7 to 13. And I think when I read this, it really allowed me to understand what the full experience of salvation is all about. It says, but I tell you, I am going to do what is best for you. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples before getting crucified. He's giving, talking to the disciples, the reason why he must go. He says, but I tell you, I'm going to do what is best for you. That is why I am going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I am gone, I will send the Spirit to help you. The Spirit will come and show the people of this world the truth about sin and God's justice and the judgment. The Spirit will show them that they were wrong about sin because they didn't have faith in me. They were wrong about God's justice because I am going to the Father and you won't see me again. And they were wrong about the judgment because God has already judged the ruler of this world. And who is the ruler of this world? It's Satan. He's already been judged already. I have much more to say to you, but right now it would be more than you can bear. Right now there's more than you could understand. This is Jesus telling his disciples. The Spirit shows what is true and will come and guide you into the full truth. Amen. Not just partial truth, but the full truth. There's too many things now that the world has that does not give us or God's people the full truth. And any other than the full truth, it's a lie. There's no such thing as 99% true because 1% spoils the whole thing. Amen? So it says that come and guide you into the full truth. This is what I love the best. This is what really opens. The Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He will tell you only, again, he will tell you only what he has heard from me, Jesus. Amen. He's not going to say of anybody. He's only going to speak of what he heard from him, his son, and the father. There's no one else that the Holy Spirit will tell you who he heard from. And he will let you know what is going to happen. Amen. So now, knowing now, when you engage, again, not read, engage in this book, you are going to allow it to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how the word allows you, this word, as Peter was talking about, allows you to grow into a full experience of salvation. It's through the Holy Spirit. And let me repeat it a third time. I've repeated it twice already. It says, Jesus, as the Word made flesh, is the ultimate expression of God's living Word, revealing his nature and will through his life, teaching, and actions. That's why this Word is the living Word. That's how we can allow this Word to be that full experience in anything that we use. It could be salvation. I'll point out two other things, but because it has Jesus' life, teachings, and actions, when we read this book, we read it to, we get to know who Jesus really is. We get to know his character. We get to feel and sense and visualize what he went through, because this is a living word. Everything in here, even like the word, when I was thinking of the worship songs, all the worship songs all come from here. This word. That's why worship is, that's why I thank God for my son-in-law Kui when he sings these worship songs. It's all from here. Nothing that we present on the stage here does not come from this. Amen. And that's what makes worship so powerful. That's what makes this book so powerful. It's a living word. Just remember, it's a living word. As I was reading, I get to just visualize Jesus' agony. You get to see him being whipped and beaten. You just sense that crown of thorns being placed upon his head, the blood flowing down his face. That's how we make this word a full experience. We want to get the full experience. And then when he gets put on the cross, those nails that get driven into his hands and feet, you can just feel the agony that as those spikes go into his hand, ripping flesh and going straight to his hands and foot. And then on the cross, when he said, "It is finished." Oh, when I was reading this, immediately you sense, because again, this is a living word, you sense the weight of sin that was transferred upon his shoulder, our sins. When he said, "It is finished," you could just sense all the weight being taken off his shoulders and being set free. Amen. And then Jesus took away the sting of death, and he robbed the grave of its victory. Sadness turns to joy when we read about the curtain being torn from top to bottom, now giving us access into his presence. That's a joy, because back then you could not go into the presence of God. You'd get instantly put to death. But now that we have the awesome privilege to be in his presence, amen. And the moment all this happens, it ends with the earth shaking. I can just feel the earth shaking as this word is coming alive. It says that the rocks were split in half. As you read Matthew 21:51, allowing his word to be alive gives us this full experience of it. And I wouldn't settle for anything less. You should never settle for anything less. Amen. And another experience that I'm going to touch on that has to do with salvation. It's the overall process of salvation. It's sanctification. Amen. So, simply put, what sanctification is being made holy and set apart for God's purposes. Amen. It's a journey. It's a journey of spiritual growth where we begin to be transformed and be more like Jesus. And this is like the central theme of our Christian walk. Amen. So when we recognize how awesome it is that God has revealed himself to us, he reveals to us in his word, we need to cherish this as a precious gift. Amen. I want you to just think of a precious gift that you may have received in life. How you feel, how you need to treasure, like this is such a great treasure. That's how we need to treasure God's word. Amen. So, as we engage, engage the Bible, I learned that we get to engage it in a spirit of prayer. Amen. Like how we did this morning. Inviting the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts, expose our sins, comfort us in times of discouragement. It's not just for intellectual purposes, but it's for conversational purpose. That's how we treat this word with the spirit of prayer. It's a conversation between us and the Father. Amen. That's how the word becomes alive to the Holy Spirit. Because engaging is not just information, it's transformation. Amen. So I want to share with you this scripture when it comes from Ezekiel 36:27. It says here, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute and be careful to obey my rules." That's how we're going to allow this word of God to have a full experience of sanctification through his word, through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? So I'm going to leave you with one more thing. There's so many things that I could have discussed, but I had to take a lot of it out because of time. And the last thing I want to touch on, and we're talking about it this morning, is don't do it on your own. Amen. You got to begin to surround yourself with other believers, other Christian, not believers. I take that word back. Because there's a lot of people who believe that don't believe in things like this. Surround yourself with Christ followers. Amen. Not believers, Christ followers. Join the Connect group as we were talking about. We have these Connect groups that are starting up. Join a Connect group. There's nothing like being in community, sharing God's truth together. Because that's one thing that Satan wants. He doesn't want you to be in a community. He wants you to be doing it yourself. He wants you to be a dull Christian. And when I say dull, I'm not being saying boring. I'm talking about dull when it talks about what we do. We are warriors, and this is our sword. But when you try to do it on your own, it becomes dull. So Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. So a friend sharpens another. So what that's saying is, the devil wants us alone. He doesn't want us to get sharpened more, but it's so important that we get into a community where we can trust. You got to get in a community where you have trusted friends, where you can share your heart, confess your heart, be transparent. Because so many times we can get into community and not be transparent and still struggle. But when we can get in a community, begin to get transparent, to begin to share your heart, your struggles with one another, that's how we fight the battle together. Amen. It's a battle that we fight together. We don't fight it alone. Amen. Listen to what the scripture says, James 5, 16. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Amen. So use your God-given gifts to serve others. What that does, it helps to build the body of Christ. Each and every one of us has a part in building the body, Lord. Actively, actively live out your faith. As our motto says, action, or let me tell you, obedient action with living faith in God knows no defeat. So we need to actively live out our faith. We need to extend our love, forgiveness to others. We need to serve the needy and share our faith with sincerity. Amen. So today, in essence, experiencing the fullness of salvation or anything fullness when it comes to God's word, we got to treat it as it's a living word for us. We want the full experience to this word. However you do, whatever you do to allow this book to be a full experience, do it. Because it's a journey that we take along this pathway for as we walk until the day that God takes us home. But we got to experience the fullness. Nothing less. Anything less than the fullness, we're cheapening this book. Amen. So we want to experience the fullness. Get into relationship with the Father. Get into a closer, intimate relationship. Increase your prayer life. Begin to study and obey and engage in this word. Amen. Actively demonstrate love and faith to what you do and say. Amen. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture. This comes from Colossians 2:7. It says, let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Amen. So today, can we all stand? As I said earlier, if there's anyone who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, after I pray, you can come up me and my pastor, whoever can lead you to the greatest decision that you would ever make. Amen. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for that. I just thank you for the beginning of service, Lord, that was so powerful, Lord, as we all came up for prayer, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, as you know the needs for each and every one of us. And today, everyone had something to say to you, Lord, and whatever it was. And of course, there was one who gave his life to you. And we just thank you, Lord. There was no mistake how we started service today. And I truly believe that this is how you want us to begin to start our service on. We just thank you, Lord, for today. We just thank you for your living word, Lord. And allow it to be alive in each and every one of our lives, Lord. Allow it to be a guide that will transform lives, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege and honor to be deliverers of your word, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, and we just give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. If there's anyone who needs more prayer, you can come up. The altar is open. If anyone needs to for the first time accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can come up also. Amen. Those online, thank you. One day we'll see you face to face. Amen. Love you all.